Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to the Czech Blog. It's been a long time since we've had one of these interviews. I'm glad to be back here with our good friend, Jator Pierre. How are you doing, Jator?
Very long. Three is the symbol for very long and the Illuminati.
Well, I guess they're probably watching, right? So we got to give them a shout out, right?
We got to be careful.
Great. We did a blog. I hope all of you got a chance to watch it and listen to it. We did an interview back at the beginning of the year, I think in January, where you, Jator, talked about achieving goals, setting goals. And in specific, you talked about, you know, having a dream and whether that word resonates, whether that's a motivating word, that sort of thing. And so one of our viewers, one of your viewers, because they're obviously going to watch you, not me,
It's up for debate.
So one of your viewers wrote in and asked a really great question. So this question comes from Wendy, and I want to do a little interview about this question because it's great. And so she wrote in and said, I love what you said regarding the word dream and how that doesn't resonate with anyone. I agree. So are there people who truly do not have one big, fat, main love, purpose, bliss out there who can still live an amazing life without that? She says, I ask because I know people who truly do not know what their one purpose is, and these people are forever bombarded with spiritual teachers, personal development teachers, and so forth, who all say the same thing, that you must find your one thing. Everyone has it inside of them, even if they don't know it's there. And I think this can be depressing for people, and it seems like it is possible that this philosophy can be actually counterproductive and can paralyze a lot of people. I read a blurb by Jonathan Fields recently, and I loved it. He said there are lots of people, tons of them, who don't have one big thing, so they feel awful about themselves when they don't experience that. But he thinks a better approach is to just ask people what fills them up. Figure out what those things are. They can be many small things, and do more of those things. Even if they work jobs they don't love, and that's a huge chunk of people out there, they still have to pay bills and support families and so forth. So what do you think, Jator? What do you think? Is it possible that people don't have a dream or a purpose or a mission like we talk about? And I guess the follow-up is, how do you live sort of a happy life if you don't?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. For me, one of the first things that comes up is my t-shirt. It's the Incredible Hulk. And it says, be incredible. Mm. And what I appreciate about that statement, and I'm a little bit of a contrarian, if you guys haven't noticed. But what I appreciate about that statement is, be incredible simply means, for me, that we all are already incredible doing what we're currently doing. So whether that's you're a garbage man, or you're a doctor, or you're a Czech practitioner, or a carpenter, or an artist, etc., you and I are already incredible. For me, it's more about kind of peeling back the lenses and layers and getting into, why do we not perceive ourselves as already incredible? And why do we kind of put these external values onto ourselves to then pressure ourselves to be what other people think we should be to be incredible? So that's kind of the quick Zen portion of this, at least from my perspective. So, yeah, I would agree with a couple of things. I would agree that I don't think any person needs one singular dream, purpose, etc., to be happy. I'm a big believer in individuality, and that we are all individuals, and that there are also different ideas that are going to work for different people. And this is can get frustrating, because from at least from an ego's perspective, we look for teachers, gurus, books, etc., that can guide us that can give us the answers to what we're trying to create in our lives, whether that's find our dream, find our purpose, etc. And we're continually like looking outside of ourselves for external acknowledgement and external validation. And then we get these ideas from the outside world, and then we go after those ideas. And a lot of us, interestingly enough, back to the self-sabotage video, we self-sabotage ourselves in alignment or going after those ideas. So it's fascinating to consider that creating one singular purpose for yourself can easily set you up for another way of self-sabotage, because then you say, well, I don't have that.
Yeah,
I don't have what everyone else has. And then you go into this ego story about competing and comparing with everyone else. So for me, what's also important about that is to kind of, when you look at a dream or you look at a purpose for, I'm going to now take away my last statement, the individuality statement, and say everyone should do that. If you would consider, when you're looking at that perspective, one of the things that I found is to really ask the person, okay, what does a dream represent to you? Or what does a purpose represent to you? Or what does many dreams or many purposes represent to you? Then when we can get out of the literal story of let's create a dream or let's create a purpose, whatever your language is, and the person that says, well, I don't have that. Well, you can ask them the question then, or ask yourself the question, okay, cool. What does that represent to you? And then they'll start to chat about what dreams or purpose represent to them. And while you're listening, or while they're listening to themselves, they might find an aspect of self that says, well, dream and purpose actually represents goal to me. What goal sets represents to me is, oh man, the goals that my parents put on me. And I'm a defiant person, and I was defiant as a child, and you know what? I don't want to go after that goal. In fact, you know what? I don't have a dream, and I don't have a purpose. So then it's this kind of, it's this paradox, right? It's this paradox of, wow, everyone needs dreams and purposes to be happy. The paradox of that is not everyone needs that, and some people will actually go in the opposite polarity to that and go and run from it rather than run towards it.
Yeah. But this is an interesting, you know, you have a, that's an interesting example, because I wonder whether, you know, in that case, what the person is responding to is the, or this imposition of structure or purpose by their parents. Right. And so I guess the question is, are they really rebelling, you know, about, are they rebelling against the idea of having a dream at all? Or are they just rebelling against their parents' dream, right? And their parents, and maybe the parents' language too, right? So their parents' sense of what they should do and their way their parents talked about it, right?
Again, that's where the debate comes in, and whether the listeners are here for you or for me. I couldn't have said that better. This is one reason why in my coaching practice, personally, and in my own kind of self-exploration, anything that I say or any idea that I have or any goal that I go after or any dream or any purpose, anything in my life, I ask myself the question, okay, there's the literal story, right? The literal, that's it. I got this literal story of what my dream is or what my purpose is. I got my purpose right here. Share, create, embrace, and guide. Okay, so that's my first step, is the literal word. And then I move that into the next step, which is, okay, well, what does that represent to me? What does share represent to me? What does create represent to me? What does embrace represent to me? What does guide represent to me? And what does purpose represent to me? And then that opens up the lens much wider. because then I can explore deeper into what are the underpinnings of why I want to create this purpose, which gives me more, it helps me look into the closet of self where it's, the lights are turned out and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
People would say like the shadow of self. So then I can look into the shadows and gain more awareness on why I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Which then helps me create more clarity around, well, is purpose actually a triggering word for me? Is dream a triggering word for me? Does that make a part of me feel, well, I'm just trying to live up to my parents' ideas again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be what they want me to be.
Yeah.
So then you have that kind of the symbolic or the metaphor.
Yep.
And then after you explored that, then you just take that same thing and you move it into the paradox.
Yeah.
The paradox is, okay, well, where are their opposite polarities basically bumping into each other? So I have my purpose, let's say. Well, on one hand, my purpose serves all these things, share, create, embrace, and guide. And for an aspect of me, that feels very inviting, enlivening, motivating. It pulls me towards it. I feel like I want to go after it for a chunk of me, right? Now, there's another story in there. The other story is, well, what's the opposite polarity of that? Man, I'm afraid I'm not enough. Afraid I don't know enough. I'm insecure that I won't live up to other people's ideas.
Maybe
I won't get the acknowledgement that I want to get. To use Paul's language, maybe my dream team won't be supportive of me.
Yeah.
What will that mean to, you know, my dream team, my family, etc.? That's all very scary too. So we have to learn how to reconcile those sides.
Yeah.
And then move that one step further, which would be into the creative realm and considering, wow, I am the creator of my reality. So I just take anything that I set for myself through those lenses of literal lens, symbolic lens, paradoxical lens, and then creative lens. And creative lens is more so where I can reconcile that everything has a purpose. You know, there's a, whether you're a manifester or into destiny, that doesn't matter to me. Either way, it's all happening.
So
it helps me to reconcile it so I can move in a direction that feels more synergistic to more aspects of me rather than, well, I have to have a purpose or a dream to be happy because someone else told me that.
This is really fascinating. So you know, as you're talking about this, I was trying to pay attention but also thinking a couple of different things.
So what I heard you say is you were paying no attention.
No, I really was. You were making me think. So a couple of things, you know, so those four words that you have behind you in some ways are, they're less goals in a sense of like open a practice and be, you know, an expert in gut health, right? They're not those sorts of things. In fact, they're more ways of being, right? Ways that you want to be, right? Ways of being. And so that's really fascinating in a way, because when we do think about goals and purpose, we think more about the former, right? We think more about achievements that I'm going to have in my life. And that's fascinating to me, this idea that maybe the way we ought to think about purpose or mission is not not in the sense of achievements. And that really might be turn off for people, because it's, in some ways, that sense of that achievement sense of goal is can be a kind of sort of competitive way of approaching goals and purposes. And there are lots of people who don't, you know, really don't like competition and don't like to be in that competition model. So thinking about goals and purpose as just as way of being, right, rather than sort of doing, achieving is so you're making me think. You're making my brain box go, and that's really that's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think what's interesting about what you shared, which I really appreciate, is this competitive nature, the competitive nature that we, some of us carry, not all of us. Maybe we compete and compare in different ways or shades of gray. But it's interesting to consider, okay, so then you have somebody that you're sitting down with or says, yeah, you know what, for me to be happy, I need to achieve this.
Yeah.
Well, it's very, very interesting how the ego works, at least in my experience, is that your ego is extremely relative. And I'll give you an example from my own life. 10 years ago, my goal at the time was to get my dream car. So I had, you know, my dream car up on my computer screen. I was working hard towards it, trying to create the money, all of this stuff. So I ended up getting my dream car. So I got my dream car, and I can remember the sales guy calling me, and because I ordered it, like I wanted it exactly what I wanted. He called me. He's like, I'm peeling the plastic wrap off your car. It just showed up. Nice. Right. So my dream car. I'm I don't know, 27 years old, super excited. I go down there, get in it. I mean, beautiful. Within a few months, I wanted a new dream car.
Nice. Yeah.
That's why I love what you shared.
Yeah.
Which is like these things, share, create, embrace, guide, are more for me states of being, rather than having to go after. Not that anything's wrong with going after.
Yeah.
But it sets me up for these places of being because in my experience, no matter what we achieve, for most of us, at least here in Western culture, once that's achieved, there's a very small moment of celebration. And it's either non-existent or very, very small. In fact, a lot of us in my experience, at least here in the West, feel some level of guilt and shame about celebrating ourselves. So that shrinks it even further.
Yeah.
You accomplish whatever your goal is or your vision. And then immediately it's what's next.
Yeah.
What can I do next so that I can get external validation? Because I learned when I was a kid that when I'm externally validated, I matter and I am loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where, for me, that's where coaching gets into. It's getting out of the literal story of anyone that you're working with, including yourself, and peeling back the layers deeper and deeper and deeper so that the person, it's not that you're offering the layers, I want to be clear about that. It's asking the questions so that the person is finding their own inner guidance and their own awareness, because as they find it within themselves, it's much more powerful.
Yeah.
As an example, if I'm sitting with a client and I know exactly what they need or what they need to see behind the veil, if I offer that, the client, it's not going to root as deeply into the client. Yeah. In fact, I'd offer that I'm actually meeting my need to be the coach and push my agenda.
Yeah.
Then I am sitting back and simply, what is the question that I can ask that may take the client into their own speaking of awareness, which changes the game? Because as they're saying it, they're like, well, it's very different than if I say it.
Yeah, right.
Completely different.
Yeah. So let me ask you, this is, if you go to the sort of achievement model of goals, right? I think people can understand, like, I can see how you can lean into that, right? I can see how you can feel a pull and you can and see a path, right? And so there's this, you know, you're talking about like almost like a sense of gravity, right? As that you're pulled toward. And when you've got, you know, an achievement sort of that you're working towards, that I think people can get that, right? But if what you're setting out, instead of having this one overarching dream or goal, what you've got is you're sort of trying to create a way of being, sharing, creating, embracing, guiding, whatever that is for you, that seems a lot more vague, right? It seems a lot more nebulous. So right, two things. How do you go about building that? But how do you, right? I mean, the big thing about goals, especially when we're talking in the Chuck Institute and trying to teach coaches, is that having somebody plug into their goals is a great way of generating motivation, right? You connect their sure. their workout goals, their nutritional goals, all of that lifestyle change goals to this, right, to the top, right, to the pinnacle, and that helps to draw them towards it and do the things that they might want to not want to do otherwise. So, but what about, you know, in this way of being, right? I mean, how do you connect into that? How, where does the motivational force and how do I pursue it?
Yeah, no, I love that. So I think we kind of chatted on this last time, but so I have kind of three layers to this process for myself.
Yeah.
So the purpose is kind of purpose or the dream is kind of the more non-tangible, right. ethereal, kind of out there nebulous, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I move down one level into more granular ideas, I move from purpose or dream into my vision. Okay, what's my vision? How am I going to create the ability to share, create, embrace, and guide? Well, my vision is, my vision for this year is a little bit more granular.
Mm.
I want a minimum of 20 hours a week of Skype sessions at $225 an hour.
Right.
I want to do 2 to 3 workshops and retreats this year, 2017, of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do two or three webinars of my own.
Yeah.
So I took it from that nebulous,
got
into the vision.
Yeah.
And then I took it one step further, which is then into kind of goals.
Mm.
At my monthly goal.
Mm-hmm.
So over here, it says March. And then here I have written down anger, which is a video I want to shoot on anger.
Mm-hmm.
Processing anger. And then here I have the Kresser Institute. I'm doing some study there and some things I'm going to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my big things for the month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I have, then over here I have my week, March 26th through April 1st. And then my week I have things that I want to accomplish this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then further down over here I have today.
Mm-hmm.
So on today, so each step gets more and more granular. So you have this big kind of arc. Right. Then you go down into the more, we're out here kind of like right brain, and then we're working our way kind of left brain linear.
Right. Okay.
Yep. So then I get the benefit of the motivational factor of something that's pulling me toward it, that I've cleared and connected with that most of me wants to go after.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the paradox side, which is doing videos like this.
Yeah.
And as an example, directly from my own life, at one point, part of my dream or my purpose was to become Czech faculty.
Mm.
And all of what that meant to me. There was another side of that process, the paradox of that process was I was afraid to teach.
Mm.
I was afraid to get up in front of a crowd. What did that mean to me? And moments from my childhood that I associate with getting up in front of people and shaming moments that I had and scary moments that I had, etc. So because I had this paradox of what I wanted to create, and also another part of me was like, hell no, you don't want to do that.
Mm.
As I searched through the hell no, you don't want to do that, and kind of reintegrate those parts of self and reparent those parts of self, it helps me grow the courage to move past my guilt and shame to become Czech faculty. Now, does that mean I don't get scared? No. I still get nervous and scared every time before I teach or I do a video, etc. However, that's now turned into my superpower, not my super weakness.
Mm-hmm. And it's superpower, it is indeed.
It's like the Hulk, man.
That's right. So let's sort of go back to Wendy's question. And suppose you had a client who was, you know, one of these people that Wendy is talking about, right? He says, you know, no goals, but or purpose. What do you do with them? How do you work with them?
I love that question. One of the first questions I'd ask to that client would be, how would you guess you benefit from not having goals or purpose? And that immediately triggers them into a thought process of exploring the symbolism of goal, purpose, etc. That opens up the coaching process.
Right.
They're now processing, and they're, my guess would be, thinking thoughts about a question that they've never thought to think about before.
Yes, I follow.
It's a moment of, like taking their story and just turning it upside down on its head.
Yeah, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So in my perspective, you know, our stories, our first story is never the truth. It's it's always a deflector. It's always deflecting from what's underneath it. So if you learn to ask questions simply to invite people to reflect on what they're saying and what they mean by what they say, you'll open up so many beautiful coaching moments that they're actually going to start coaching themselves in front of your eyes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wow, this is great. it was an excellent question, and I just want to, you know, say to all of our listeners and watchers, that viewers, that, you know, if you have questions like this, this is why we sort of did this interview, because it was such a great question, and I like these. I can't speak for Jator, but these are I would never try that. This is a wonderful question, and we would like to be able to answer these sorts of questions for all of you in the future. So if you have questions, please put them in the comments, and we'll do our best to get to them if we can, because it was a really fantastic question. And I think Wendy's right. There's probably a lot of people out there who don't feel like they have goals, and maybe don't even sort of see why they need to have like this big overarching life's purpose, right?
I would agree. And I think that, you know, kind of to come back into the practical world with her question is simply to question people's statements. So we can look at this from two lenses, right? We can ask the person who has defined, linear, tight, motivational goals, wow, I wonder why that's so important for you to achieve. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you if you achieve it?
Yeah.
Immediately, we're opening up ideas, and they're looking back at, wow, that is really interesting.
Yeah.
And for the opposite side of that, then we say, wow, how do you think you benefit from not having purpose, not having dream?
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that neither one, from my perspective, is it any more functional or dysfunctional than the other.
Right.
They're both ways that we deflect from underlying stories. So they both create coaching moments. And it's you know, the person that says, I'm extremely tight on this goal and what I'm going to create, they may self-sabotage down the road. And that's where these questions can come in too.
Yeah.
And the person who doesn't have that may actually be being very successful and self-sabotage down the road in the opposite fashion.
Right.
So it's kind of an exploration of, you know, what I do essentially for a living is I ask thoughtful questions. Mm-hmm. And here's a very kind of grassroots example of this. The next time any of you are in a conversation with somebody else and they're speaking words about, let's say somebody says, yeah, well, you know, I'm really honorable and I'm trustworthy and this and I'm that. Instead of dialoguing back and forth with them to practice your coaching practice, ask the question, what does honorable mean for you? Mm. What does trustworthy mean for you? In my experience, I'm going to be a little arrogant here. 90% of people simply speak words. They're not even conscious of the words that they're speaking, nor are they conscious of what the words mean to them. So when you ask that question, it creates pause. And it creates pause for the person to turn that back on themselves. Like, wow, what does honorable mean for me? Well, honorable means this, this, and this, and this. And then you're creating moments where instead of having this just back and forth dialogue like a tennis match, you're creating moments of really connecting with someone because you're gaining an understanding. And then you can say, oh, honor means this, this, and this, this for me. And then you could reply with, okay, well, this is what I heard you say. Honor means this, this, and this for you. Yeah. And I'm not talking about the literal word, but what you heard them say.
Yeah.
And then we know if we've actually having some level of understanding with each other. But the level at which communication happens, at least in my experience today, is it's so fast and furious that it's blurbs.
Yeah.
And our technology is created also a way that we now communicate at a human level with just blurbs.
Yeah.
It's very few, like, taking time out to have a conversation like this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And, we're getting far afield. But, I think part of it, too, is that people are afraid of silences, right? That they can be uncomfortable. People don't know what they mean. And so there's this, I need to keep saying stuff. Even, like you said, if it's sort of meaningless, I don't know what the words are, but it's a way of keeping me from the uncomfortable silence.
Oh, man. What I heard you say from a Czech perspective, a sign and a nebulous place to invite yourself into to be, in my perspective, an excellent coach is you have to get extremely comfortable in silence to allow people to process and then offer their stuff rather than having to fill space with your words.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and maybe that's a topic for another interview. Silence.
Sweet.
I love it. It's going to be a very quiet interview.
Which is super awkward and silent.
Yes. I can do super awkward, too. I'm good at that. That's my superpower.
That's awesome.
Great.
All right. I take my cues from this guy, man.
I don't know if I would call him super awkward, though. I think he's pretty urbane.
Well, that's why I wasn't saying you. I was saying I take my cues from him.
Nice. All right. And with that, I think this interview is over, right?
I need a non-life fantasy because all my fantasies always are that. They never match up. So this one, I'll never know, the truth about Yoda. I'll just have my stories.
This is where the awkward silence comes in. All right, Jator. Well, thanks so much for that. And thanks to Wendy for asking this question because it was a great question and I think it was worth exploring. So let's do this again soon, Jator.
Let's do it.
All right. Take care.